Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Opino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source of Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 and the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 96 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 24% humidity. I'd like to work the show a bit different today. I'm going to start out with a series of questions. I have clips and articles lined up, but I would like to pick your brain. I encourage you to call in. We'll get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 15th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Okay, so, I wanted to start out with a series of questions. I'm just going to throw them out there and see if anybody bites. Let me pull them up. Okay, so our call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Then hit star 6 to unmute. And go ahead and get some paper because I'll give that out one more time. Okay, so let's just start out with these questions. I just kind of brainstorming and just started writing them down. Okay, first one. How do we put a stop to these monuments being taken down? There's probably more than one way to do it, but what would be the first step, or what do you think is your best idea? You know, anything. Do you guys think the event in Charlottesville is real or manufactured? Do any of the listeners agree with the alt-right? Do any of the listeners feel and or believe America is a white and or Christian nation? What should we as awake and freedom-loving people be focusing on these days? Should we organize and form a plan? How do we wake more people up? Should we seek out fellow patriots, and would you move across country to do so? Do you think there would be value in taking down the guidestones? Do you think there's an economic crash coming? And if so, how long? What do you think the future of patriot and alternative media is? What are your thoughts on alternative currencies and growing markets not dependent on the Federal Reserve? Okay, so I'm just going to give out that call-in number again. It's 641-715-3610. Once you're connected, you'll be asked for a room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Then hit star 6 to unmute. So if anybody's ready, they can come up. And if not, I have a clip titled Chief Thomas Takes Questions on the Police Response to Unite the Right Rally. The source is from the Daily Progress. And something I found interesting is the video is censored at the end. At the end, they're doing a little question and answer session. And there's some censoring. There's a piece taken out, but you get like a little tail end of it. There must have been some sort of argument going on. So, yeah, if there's any listeners that want to come up, go ahead. It's the last chance before I get playing the clip. Okay, here we go.
The crowd size became increasingly violent, with mutually engaged combatants, with one-on-one attacks following. An unlawful assembly was declared, and the state police troopers began to safely move individuals out of the park and through the streets. Charlottesville police officers were originally on site in their everyday uniform. We were again hoping that the members of the alt-right rally would cooperate with our safety plan of ingress and egress. Once the violence began to erupt, we transitioned our officers and to their protective equipment, we proceeded with an organized response to ensure that we could safely restore order in and around the park. No tear gas was deployed on Saturday by any law enforcement officers. There were a few instances where the Virginia State Police deployed OC, or better known as pepper spray, on those individuals refusing to comply with the unlawful assembly declaration to leave Emancipation Park. And I would like to take a moment and open the floor to questions if you have any.
Why was no Ward Street Causeway open?
Is it
on September 12th that they're in planning, if they haven't already said that there are going to be multiple rallies, Richmond, Lexington, and here September 12th?
I'm not sure that information is credible, but yes, we have heard those rumors as well. No one has contacted us directly concerning other demonstrations in and around the state.
Why was the 4th Street crossing open before 2 p.m.? It was supposed to be closed till 7.
I'm not sure whether or not the 4th Street crossing was open. I don't have the action plan with me currently, but I am certain that the action plan called for the street to be closed.
You established a motive for the car strike suspect.
Last month, for the Ku Klux Klan rally, we were here. You guys were there from the beginning. You were in the middle of the rally. You kept the two sides separate. Why did you take a different approach on Saturday?
Well, this was a completely different event from the rally on July the 8th. The entire action plan was different. We did make attempts to keep the two sides separate.
Bullshit.
However, we can't control which side someone enters the park. We had agreements and worked out a security plan to bring the groups in separate entrances. Again, they decided to change the plan and enter the park in different directions.
Why didn't you?
We've heard reports that police did not do enough to break up fights, that it appeared they were standing around letting people duke it out. And some people have suggested they may have been intimidated by the firepower of the alt-right. Can you respond to that?
We were certainly not intimidated by the firepower of the alt-right. However, it was prudent to make sure that officers were equipped to go out and deal directly with the violence at hand. Originally, we had our officers out in their everyday uniform. We were hoping for a peaceful event. We urged leaders from both sides to engage in a nonviolent demonstration. Once the violence erupted, once the plan was altered, we had to quickly transition our officers into their protective gear. Once the unlawful assembly was declared, we requested the state police mobile field force to deploy in their right gear, and our officers took a position behind them at that point to guard their rear.
Why didn't
I witnessed personally dozens of acts of violence, people being assaulted, and other journalists saw this as well, with police officers in sight watching who did not intervene or help those victims. Did you give any orders to police officers not to help people who were being assaulted?
No.
Why did you intervene then?
At the point that it turned violent, why didn't you guys clear the streets completely? Why allow any protesters at that point to remain on the streets?
We did clear the park, and once the crowds were dispersed, they went to many locations throughout the city. At that time, we had to send our forces to multiple locations to deal with the number of disturbances in and around the downtown area. It took probably an hour to gain control of the streets. We had groups that were moving constantly. We were following a number of groups, ensuring that they were being peaceful, but it was a challenge. It was certainly a challenge. We were spread thin once the groups dispersed.
Was there a decision to just end it, though? And was there at any point a decision thing or thought process to say, this might not be a good idea to let these people continue to march around the streets, knowing that these two sides were so agitated at that point?
Yes, we have to focus on behavior and criminal activity, not just citizens walking in our streets.
Chief, this didn't end. Do you have any regrets, and do you wish you would have come more prepared, so to speak? In other words, you knew what was coming. You met with them, you had a plan, you talked it out. Do you regret not having your officers better prepared and in their proper gear earlier so they could have acted sooner?
Absolutely, I have regrets.
And what are your regrets?
We lost 3 lives.
I certainly have regrets.
We lost 3 lives, and 2 of them were from an accident, okay? How does that even count? I mean, seriously.
We lost 3 lives this weekend, a local citizen and 2 fellow officers. We certainly have regrets. It was a tragic, tragic
But, Chief, this weekend. Is on your department. Do you regret your actions and your decisions that day?
I explain what our regrets are. We regret this tragic day. We regret that we had a tragic outcome and we lost lives.
Chief, do you believe that? Do you believe that one side was more responsible than another for instigating the violence?
This was an alt-right rally.
Do you believe that they're the ones who instigated the rally, the fighting?
We did have mutually combative individuals in the crowd. We try to be patient. We try to give the individuals in the crowd who wanted to leave, we wanted to make sure that they were able to leave safely. We facilitated that process. We had a number of individuals who chose to remain and cause violence.
My name's Chief Thomas, and I like dodging questions.
Cause disturbances.
One more question. Chief. Right here.
Thank you. We have heard from a senior law enforcement source in another county whose officers were here that in a briefing conducted here for law enforcement, either Friday night or Saturday morning, the officers were instructed to make no arrests without the explicit approval of the Charlottesville mayor. Our law enforcement source says that he was outraged by the instruction. Did you or the mayor or anyone on the mayor's staff instruct law enforcement not to make arrests unless approved by the mayor?
No, and I'd like to know who that officer is who allegedly made those remarks. That is simple.
You do differently next time, sir.
So what just happened there was an edit. So we heard the very tail end of somebody's statement at the police chief as he was walking away. So, yeah, they put an edit right in there for some reason. Now, did we have any callers that wanted to come up? Ready? Just hit star 6 to unmute. Okay. So, this next clip is coming from National Public Radio. It's titled, Why the Government Can't Bring Terrorism Charges in Charlottesville. So we're going to give the leftist bleeding rectum perspective. We're going to take a look at it real quick.
James Alex Fields Jr. is accused of driving his car into a crowd Saturday in Charlottesville. He allegedly attacked people who were demonstrating against a white supremacist gathering. Fields is being held without bond on several charges, including the murder of one woman, Heather Heyer. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was on ABC's Good Morning America today, and when he was asked what the Justice Department would be investigating in connection to the allegations against James Alex Fields Jr., Sessions said this.
Well, it does meet the definition of domestic terrorism in our statute.
Which seems to suggest that the government is looking into a possible terrorism charge against Fields. Well, it's complicated. So NPR national security correspondent Greg Myrie is here to help explain. I agree.
I just want to point out, NPR says everything is complicated. Anytime they don't want to explain something in detail, they say it's complicated. So keep that in mind. You'll notice it's a pattern. It's not just NPR. It's most of the politicians or whatever. It's complicated.
James Alex Fields Jr. is accused of driving his car into a crowd Saturday in Charlottesville. He allegedly attacked people who were demonstrating against a white supremacist gathering.
Okay, folks, we got an error right there, so I'm not going to bother repeating that. Basically, they're saying they can't charge him with terrorism, and they want to implement some new laws, so that's my fault. I screwed up that clip by trying to pause it, but I got another one that I thought was pretty interesting. This one's coming from Dallas, okay? Dallas group forms to protect Confederate monuments, so let's give it a listen.
But tonight, Dallas is dealing with its own statue debate, and one group of predominantly African Americans wants the Confederate monuments to stay in place. Jeff Paul downtown to explain why. Jeff?
Well, Doug, this monument here near the convention center was put here to honor the soldiers who died fighting for the Confederate Army. Some want it gone now, saying that it represents racism, but one group here in Dallas says removing it won't help anything.
Will we continue for white supremacy to remain?
They want the statues of Confederacy to come down.
I'm not intimidated by Robert E. Lee's statue. I'm not intimidated by it. It doesn't scare me.
Former city council member Sandra Crenshaw feels the monuments should remain standing.
We don't want America to think that all African Americans are supportive of this.
Crenshaw, Buffalo Soldier historians, and some sons of Confederate veterans are coming together to help protect the Confederate markers from toppling over in Dallas. They feel the monuments, like the Freedmen Cemetery, tell an important story and help heal racial wounds.
Some people think that by taking a statue down that that's going to erase racism. It's misguided.
City Council member Philip Kingston disagrees.
What we don't do is leave up a monument that celebrates the very idea that some of us are not equal to the others.
He's now proposed a resolution that states the monuments shouldn't be on public land and wants to create a task force to help decide the future of the statues.
And these monuments distort history. They don't teach history.
Crenshaw says the protests and efforts to remove the monuments take away from real change and progression.
I am very, very saddened by those people, particularly the African Americans, who are leading this agenda. There is a democratic process.
Now, also tonight, Mayor Mike Rawlings released a statement calling the events in Charlottesville horrifying and the white supremacists behind it pure evil. While he didn't outright mention the monument and statue issue, he's going to have a press conference tomorrow at noon where that topic could be brought up. Reporting live here in downtown Dallas, I'm Jeff Paul, CBS 11 News.
So I thought that clip was a bit encouraging, the fact that we got a black congresswoman stepping up to protect the monuments in Dallas. Even though on the flip side of that, we had some limp-wristed, faggoty-ass white boy communist saying that he wants to take them down. So I heard some dings. I thought I heard somebody talking. Do we have a caller that wants to come up? Give you a little bit of time here. All right, so we're going to switch gears here. This is definitely an important topic, NAFTA. Okay, so this one's coming from NPR as well, and we're just going to play the audio. It's titled Trump's NAFTA Makeover, Not So Extreme. So let's get into it.
Starting tomorrow, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will begin renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement. And despite very tough talk about NAFTA during the campaign, it appears the Trump administration is backing away from a major assault on the decades-old trade deal. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
During the campaign, Donald Trump clearly tapped into frustration about workers who had lost jobs in manufacturing. And one of the central villains responsible for stealing those American jobs was NAFTA.
NAFTA was the worst deal ever made in the history of the world. It was a one-way highway out of the United States.
Upon taking office, President Trump followed through on his pledge to scuttle another trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. But by April of this year, it was becoming clear that NAFTA would be different.
Well, I was going to terminate NAFTA as of 2 or 3 days from now. The president of Mexico, who I have a very, very good relationship, called me. And also the Prime Minister of Canada, who I have a very good relationship, and I like both of these gentlemen very much, they called me. And they said, rather than terminating NAFTA, could you please renegotiate?
There are also a lot of U.S. manufacturing and agricultural companies and businesses of all kinds, really, who do not want the president to throw out NAFTA. Analysts say most U.S. industries support NAFTA because the deal has actually increased U.S. exports to Canada and Mexico. And it appears that the administration is hearing that message.
I decided rather than terminating NAFTA, which would be a pretty big, you know, shock to the system, we will renegotiate.
Okay, so if we're not throwing out NAFTA, what's on the table as far as changes to it?
We see the changes as departing from a lot of the rhetoric that we saw during the campaign, where now we see them as relatively modest.
Jaime Roig is a vice president with Moody's who follows Mexico. He says that the U.S. is looking to get tougher enforcement of environmental and labor regulations in Mexico. There will also be an effort to update NAFTA with regard to all the information age technologies, products, and issues that didn't exist when NAFTA was created. Also on the to-do list, it changes to the dispute resolution process between the three countries. But as far as making really big changes to NAFTA, Jaime Roig says to understand how hard that would be to actually do, just look at that little switch on your car door that makes your window go up and down. He says those switches...
They start off as small components in Asia.
What they're doing right here is just baffling you with bullshit. Just total bullshit. But we'll listen to it.
In Colorado, they make these components into a capacitor. Capacitor then goes over to Mexico.
And he says the components cross back into the U.S. or Canada, back to the U.S. or Mexico again, before finally being part of a finished car. So multiply that by thousands of different products across a slew of industries. The root system that's been laid down is just an immensely complex web of interconnected business relationships across both borders.
Ooh, there's that word. It's just too complex. You stupid peon goyims just can't get it. It's complex.
Be able to make significant changes that don't hurt anybody. It becomes very challenging to actually change.
Of course, regardless of what the administration's trade officials have said they want to do so far, you don't have to stretch your imagination too much to think that the president might make news with a tweet or a statement that catches the negotiators on all sides off guard. Carolyn Freund is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
Well, I guess the thing about a wild card is it can go in either direction. So on the one hand, if Trump insisted that Mexico pay for the wall as part of the NAFTA negotiations, that would derail the negotiations completely.
But, she says, on the other hand, the president might be able to nudge negotiators in a useful direction, too. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
Okay, that's enough of that bullshit. So, yeah, you notice they said, we just can't make a window switch in your car without having to ship it around the world 12 times. Bullshit, man. I don't believe that one bit.
Bullshit.
You're telling me we can't make everything within the United States? We don't have the minerals, we don't have the sunshine, we don't have the manpower? I don't believe it.
Bullshit.
So, now, they said something interesting about Trump killing TPP. I very clearly remember in 2015 it being announced that TPP was dead. Now, I'm going to assume basically everything I'm hearing from the mainstream media is bullshit.
Bullshit.
And as soon as they said TPP was dead, I figured, well, there must be some other way that they're trying to pass it. So the fact that they're trying to, that NPR, the people who are supposed to be opposed to Trump, are attributing the ending of TPP to him, when I recall it happening in 2015, is quite interesting. They're actually doing him a favor, in my opinion. Okay, another thought is, if the NAFTA negotiation is going on now, that maybe there's some timing with this Charlottesville incident between the two of them. Maybe they're trying to pull our attention away from NAFTA, because that would be a very clear selling out of the American people and selling out of the Trump supporters and the Trump voters. So if they're not paying attention right now because they're super hyper-focused in on Charlottesville, maybe they won't notice that NAFTA got renegotiated. And who knows what kind of shit's going to go down with that. Yeah. So anyway, any callers want to come up real quick before we get to our bottom of the hour break? All right. So I'm going to bring up my articles and just see what I got here. There's a few that I didn't really get a chance to read yet. So we can read and learn together. And a couple of them have been covered already. And some of them are pretty interesting here. But let's see. So one that I wanted to start out with was sent in today to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by Stuzz. It's called Don't Play Into the Divide and Conquer Game. It was written by Michael Krieger from Liberty Blitzkrieg. So I'm unfamiliar with Mr. Krieger and the website, so I don't know what they support or whatever. But we'll just get it going for a second. I'm going to keep this relatively short. I've written thousands of articles over the years, and anyone who's read me for any period of time knows where I stand when it comes to hatred, bigotry, and violence. I find all of these things repulsive, and I think people who gravitate to such behavior to be operating on such a low brow, such a low level of awareness, it's genuinely hard for me to believe that these people exist in real life. Now, to a degree, I'm going to agree with that. I don't know. Honestly, I don't think a lot of what we're seeing with the alt-right is legit and the white nationalists are legit. I took a little bit of time to look into these people. I don't think they're genuine. But if anybody's following them, I think that's foolishness. We need as many people on the side of liberty and freedom as possible. And if you were born within this country and you love freedom the same as I do, or you know anybody else in the Patriot community, then why would you want to stand behind an institution that's excluding? Why would you want to exclude black people? Why would you want to exclude Mexican-American people who have been here for generations? Why would you exclude them? If they love liberty, if they want to keep this country free, and they want to participate in the fight, why would you weaken yourself by excluding them? You know, if you don't want to have children with somebody outside of your skin tone, that's your prerogative. If you're Irish and you want to keep your Irish lineage, that's your prerogative. And it really shouldn't factor into politics. Because when those types, when race and religion and stuff like that starts to factor into politics, you start to get the more fascistic side of things. You know, the left likes to let everything go, unless it opposes them, they are no holds barred with everything, and the right wants to lock everything down. Okay, well, anyway, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll continue on this discussion when we get back. We'll be right back.
old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Sleep.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. It is 1:39 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Leah with Celtic theme funeral song coming out of the break. Okay, so at any time, if we have any callers, feel free to interrupt me. We started on the article titled Don't Play Into the Divide and Conquer, posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com today by Stuzz. Okay, I published my seminal piece discussing the repulsion I feel today with today's political environment back in February in the Post, Lost in the Political Wilderness. Now is a perfect time to reread that piece, but here's an excerpt if you're short on time. I think the U.S. citizenry is being affected by a sort of mass insanity at the moment. There is no good outcomes if this continues. Well, I think it's by design. I don't think it's just because they're insane. As a result, I feel compelled to provide a voice for those of us lost in the political wilderness. We must preserve and not be manipulated into the obvious and nefarious divide-and-conquer tactics being aggressively unleashed across the societal spectrum. If we lose our grounding and our fortitude, we will be left to speak. Who will be left to speak for those of us who simply don't fit in to any of the currently ascendant political ideologies? I don't need anybody to speak on my behalf. I'll speak on my own behalf. For those of you who consider yourselves to largely reside in the yellow state, second tier consciousness, I have one key message for you. There's a very deliberate attempt to manipulate you into devolving back into the lower tiers. Likewise, there is a very deliberate attempt to prevent those on the cusp of higher consciousness from ever evolving. The reason is simple. The lower tiers are very tribal and easily divided and conquered. The higher tiers are not. I don't know, the Jews seem to be very tribal, and it seems to be working out good for them. So is being tribal, does that make you more susceptible to be divided? I'm not sure if that's the case. I'm not saying tribalism is the way to go, but anyway. Unlike most people writing articles on Charlottesville, I'm not going to spend my time getting on a pedestal to prove to everyone how much I hate neo-Nazis. My contempt for bigotry and violence has been a constant theme throughout all my writings over the years. In contrast, the purpose of this piece is to try to knock some sense into people so that we don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Let's start by discussing the tweet that I wrote earlier today. What's more likely, Nazis taking over the U.S. government or oligarchs using violent radicals on both sides to maintain their grip on power? I would say the latter. I don't know about you. Yeah, I don't think we got enough Nazi supporters for them to take over the U.S. by any means. I set myself up for hysterical criticism with that tweet by saying both sides, which dishonest people will surely twist into support for Trump's commentary on this weekend's violence. I don't care. While I certainly do not want to minimize the disturbing scenes from Charlottesville and the terrible losses of life and multiple injuries that occurred, it's always important to keep our eyes on the bigger picture. Now, here's something that I want to point out. I took a little bit of time to look at the video evidence coming out of Charlottesville. I don't see anybody getting run over. I see two women taking a ride on the hood of the two vehicles as they're being crashed into each other, and I see people sitting on the street after the car may have run them over. But conveniently, in every little video that I've seen, there's something in the way. There's one claiming to be drone footage. The corner of the building is completely blocking the accident. There's a couple of them from a similar angle where there's a flag conveniently waving in the way of the camera right when the accident happens. And then there's another one where the woman's fingers, I assume it's a woman, the person's fingers, cover up the lens right when the accident happens. So was 19 people injured? I don't know, okay? By looking at their own footage, I can count 5 or 7 people that look like they might be injured. So are they trumping up the numbers by adding everybody who was injured throughout the whole event? Or was there literally 19 people injured from that car crash? So, I mean, I might be wrong, but I assumed or I thought or I think I heard that it was from the car crash. Anyway, getting back to the article. Specifically, we need to review some facts. Neo-Nazis and Antifa didn't destroy the middle class. They didn't start an unnecessary and barbaric war in Iraq either. Neither of these groups jack up prescription drugs, nor do they poison your food or water supply. Oligarchs and their political minions that do that... oligarchs and their political minions do that. Violent Americans dressing up in Halloween costumes aren't the real threat. Oligarchs are, but the corporate media doesn't want to talk about that. This is precisely why they focus so heavily on clueless protesters and counter-protesters punching each other. It benefits the true power structure in America. I've got no affinity for neo-Nazis or Antifa, but I recognize them to be a relative sideshow compared to the far more pressing threats we face today. You can discern where the true power lies based on what the corporate media chooses to focus on and what it chooses to ignore. An obsession with useful idiot American protesters punching each other is very similar to the 9-month incessant focus on Russia election conspiracy theories, which I haven't looked at all, people. I've considered that to be a total waste of time, and I haven't even bothered looking at it. It perfectly aids the agenda of the real power structure in this country. Creating outrage about neo-Nazis in Russia doesn't hurt oligarchs. In fact, it helps their cause. It diverts attention and energy away from the true cancer destroying society and provides the added benefit of allowing terrible people to get up on soapboxes. Condemning neo-Nazis is easy and takes no real courage, which is why the oligarchs and their spokespeople salivate at the opportunity to use it and advance their own unrelated interest. Here are two examples of what I mean. First, there's Neera Tanden of the centrist Democratic Aligned Center for American Progress. The political ideology of such people can be summarized as: oligarchs are great so long as they support abortion. Theirs is a dying ideology soon to be extinct, but they are desperately attempting to hang on to their dwindling relevance. While I'm sure neo-Nazi marches genuinely outrage such people, it's telling that they immediately use such an opportunity to shift the conversation away from economic populism, which they despise, back to politics of emotion and identity. Adam Johnson perfectly took her to task, exploiting the violent attack leftist economic populist who remained stubbornly focused on the problems of oligarchy. We have actual fascists marching with torches. This is a tweet from that Neera Tanden woman. We have actual fascists marching with torches. Maybe everyone on the progressive side could focus on the enemies of progress in front of you. Yeah, I don't consider them enemies unless they actually start marching down my street and start setting shit on fire. Then I'll go handle business. But until then, I'm not going to involve myself with either of these groups. Neera's cynicism is truly boundless. Here she evokes Nazi terror. Let's see, is there anything more? Okay. All right, we're just going to move on to the next article. Okay, what do we got here? Random man at protest interviewed by MSNBC New York. New York Time is deep state shill linked to George Soros. This was posted today, August 15th, 2017, by Galeen on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion coming from the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft. The random Charlottesville observer who is interviewed by MSNBC and liberal outlets turns out to be a deep state shill with links to George Soros. So if this guy's in the quote-unquote deep state, what institution exactly is he a member of, and how do you know he's in the deep state? Might as well call him out specifically instead of using a stupid little buzzword like deep state. You know, if he's in the CIA, call him out. It looks like the State Department was involved in Charlottesville rioting and is trying to cover it up. But after the deep state got caught, they are trying to erase this guy from their records. Okay. Brennan Gilmore tweeted out a video of the horrific car attack on Saturday by white supremacist James Alex Fields. Gilmore's tweet went viral, and he was interviewed by MSNBC and other liberal outlets. The New York Times included Gilmore's comment in their report on the attack. The New York Times later removed the quote. The State Department is very familiar with Brennan Gilmore. He was involved in the Coney 2012 operation. The State Department later removed any reference of Brennan. Why would the State Department react in such a way? Why would the State Department scrub that? Brennan Gilmore was also chief of staff for Liberal Representative Tom Perriello. Tom Perriello was given $385,000 from far-left donor George Soros. This weekend, Brennan Gilmore happened to be in Charlottesville with the rioters. The media knows exactly who he is, yet played it off like a casual observer. This is how the deep state is working within the liberal media to shape the narrative and fool the American people. Oh, God. This is how the deep state is working within the liberal media. That's comical. We got a completely controlled communist, fascist, dictator freaking press. It's getting run out of probably Israel and out of London and the Vatican. You know, between the three of them, they pretty much run the show, at least as far in the West. So to use all these buzzwords like the deep state and the liberal media, well, I guess what? Fox News to me is a liberal media, okay? So if you're not including them in the mix and you're thinking they're somehow conservative, I don't think so. I can't even log on to foxnews.com and find a piece of valid information ever. It's probably the worst news source I've ever seen in my entire freaking life. Liberal media. What a joke. Okay, this next article is titled Mom Called Police Over Threatening Acts by Virginia Driver. This was sent in today, August 15, 2017, for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by Sunfire. It's coming from Mail.com. Charlottesville, Virginia, AP. The driver charged with killing a woman at a white nationalist rally in Virginia was previously accused of beating his mother and threatening her with a knife, according to police records. Samantha Bloom, who is disabled, you know what? We're going to skip this article. That may or may not be true. For all I know, this person doesn't even exist. And honestly, the kid did something stupid. It's murder. If it's legitimate, it's murder. Let's call it murder and let's handle it accordingly. I don't know anything about this gentleman or his politics. Has anybody taken the time to psychoanalyze him? You know, to attribute his actions to the protest directly? How does everybody know this? I'm sure there's a whole bunch of information. I just haven't really been looking at it. All right, so this article, I didn't send it in because there's a very similar article on From the Trenches, but it's actually a little more detailed. This is coming from the AP News, and it's titled Deadly Rally Accelerates Removal of Confederate Statues. This is probably what I should have started out reading. This is one of the more important articles I had here. See if we can skip past the bullshit a little bit and get to the meat and potatoes. They're talking about how they're removing one and giving it, and the Daughters of Confederacy are receiving one of the monuments in Gainesville. Okay, it's talking about how they toppled the one in North Carolina. And Virginia, the rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, is fueling another reevaluation of Confederate statues in cities across the nation, accelerating their removal in much the same way that a 2015 mass shooting by a white supremacist renewed pressure to take down the Confederate flag from public property. And you know what? As far as the, the AMA church shooting, I'm going to call bullshit on that.
Bullshit.
Within the first 48 hours, they were showing the victim's family members, and they weren't crying at all. And you're going to tell me black folk who just lost their mother and just lost their children or their sisters and their brothers, you're telling me they're going to get up on that TV screen within 48 hours and their faces ain't puffy and their makeup's not messed up and they look like they're dressed up for church on Sunday, okay? Everybody's emotional. It's very difficult when you lose a family member. So why is it so many of these terrorist incidents have people, family members of the deceased, who are not crying? Okay, anybody can go sniffle and talk weird. Show me the tears. Show me the puffiness. Show me the changes in the voice. We all know what it sounds like. We all know what it looks like. So anyway, as far as Charleston shooting, I'm pretty sure that's where it was, right? Charleston in Georgia. I don't know. As far as that shooting in the AMA church, I'm calling bullshit on it.
Bullshit.
All right, so let's continue with the bullshit Associated Press article. So they got a picture here. Lexington, Kentucky, Mayor Jim Gray announced on Twitter that he would work to remove the Confederate monument on his county courthouse, at his county courthouse. We should not glorify a part of our history in front of our buildings that really is a testament to America's original sin. Okay, yeah, I'm sure. Gainesville Mayor Lauren Poe said Monday after the statue. Okay, you know what? We're just going to skip all these stupid fucking politicians' comments. The Southern Poverty Law Center last year counted more than 1,500 things around the country named after Confederate figures or dedicated to the Confederacy, including holidays, statues, flags, and the names of cities, counties, schools, and parks. So if you want to know who your enemy is, there it is, Southern Poverty Law Center. God, what was that? James Kavanaugh, that piece of shit ATF worker, there's your enemy, okay? Antifa, small fries. They don't got a big budget. I mean, I guess they got Soros money behind them. But as far as I know, nobody started arming them with RPGs and tanks yet. But who knows? That day might come if we keep hesitating and letting things continue the way that they are. Anyway, so yeah, Southern Poverty Law Center, clearly your enemy. Nearly half are monuments, which are in 24 states. Most of the dedications are in the South, but 24 are in the North and 21 in states that did not exist at the time of the Civil War, which Arizona would be one of them. But whether the state existed or not doesn't mean a historical event didn't take place there. Fucking manipulated pricks. In Jacksonville, Florida, City Council, we don't give a shit what she has to say. So anyway, they got a map here, and they show the different states and how many monuments are in the states. That's coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center. So they went as far out of their way as to make a graph of what is where and put it on a map. So if anybody's leading this Antifa thing, I guarantee Southern Poverty Law Center has something to do with it. You know, they're basically telling everybody, here's where it is, go knock it down. You know, I'm sure they're the ones probing these politicians. So, yeah, you can interrupt me anytime, caller. Just hit *6 to unmute yourself. San Antonio Councilman Robert Trevino is promoting a measure that would remove the Confederate statue at the center of Travis Park, where for a couple of years people have mistakenly identified the figure as being that of Colonel Williams Travis, a Texas hero who died at the Alamo. There is not an important art piece. This is not an important art piece, but a monument to power. It was put to remind the people of power. You know what your monument to power is? It's your fucking cops on the street. It's the fact that I can't drive 2 goddamn miles without having to watch my freaking speedometer or see a goddamn pig on the road every day. When I left the state of New York, I couldn't drive 3 miles without seeing somebody being pulled over, without seeing blue flashy lights. I couldn't drive three fucking miles, okay? That's your monument to power. It isn't some bronze statue collecting freaking dust and patina. You know, I don't care about that. Okay. Anyway, Pug. Is that that person's real name? Pug. Said she was making plans to send the statues to cemeteries with Confederate dead outside the city. But hours later, the city council voted unanimously to have the statues destroyed instead of moved. It was unclear whether anything would happen to the statues immediately. So yeah, that's in Baltimore, people. So in Baltimore, they want to destroy it. Anyway, you know, I should have posted this article on the trenches because it might be a little more detailed than that other one that's very similar. So I'll go ahead and send this in. It's from the AP. It's titled, Deadly Rally Accelerates Removal of Confederate Statues. And I suggest you take a look at it. They're talking about the different politicians around the country that are gunning at the monuments right now. So one thing that we can do is we can stand up for these monuments, and that might mean actually shooting a son of a bitch that's taking it down. Forget protesting, forget torches, forget bed sheets, forget all that stupid shit. The guy's actually taking it down. Maybe give him the chance to stop, and if they don't, shoot him. But guess what? You're going to go in direct conflict with the cops. That's what's going to go down. Anyway, that's it for me today. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm out.